Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/AHTT. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Hard to Tell podcast episode 114. Dexter Henry Brian Fonseca in the building from the Gotham Podcast Studio. We are here. We got a guest today, Xavier Porter.
What's going on?
Boxing reporter. We are going to talk a lot of violence, which is going to make Brian happy. You don't understand. This man, woo, he loves him.
Oh, he understands.
He actually told me once he thinks about walking down the street, and if you see somebody, what it would be like to just punch him in the face.
No. So let me reword that, okay? So
no, that's really how he said it, though. No, he's going to try to clean it up, but that's really how he said it.
No, I've said, like, yo, you've never thought, like, just walking down the street, you've never thought, like, what would happen if you just hit the person you're walking
just a random individual.
Yeah. Like in GTA.
Xavier, have you had this thought?
Like
yeah.
GTA.
Oh, you have? Yeah. Oh, you know what? No wonder both of y'all love some boxes.
That's a fact.
Yeah. I just want to say, like, all right, to the people listening to the podcast, Xavier was one of the people that I had on the original list of people that we could get. We just haven't made this work.
Yeah.
So, like, the next time we have you on, it won't take 2.5 years.
No doubt.
But Xavier, I want to make a point about that in the terms of you thinking about walking down the street and possibly what it would be like to punch somebody in the face and this dude thinking about it. Yeah. Now, for people who can't see, you are a bigger dude. So I don't feel like a lot of people want to take a punch in the face from you.
I'm not saying
people don't want to take a punch in the face from Brian. I'm just saying they might sleep on Brian a little bit more. I'm actually giving you props.
True, but like, yo, you got to look at the pound for pound charts in boxing.
Yep, fair.
It's always little dudes, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, at the top. The list.
And you know, Brian, he likes to root for little dudes, man.
I grew up, I'm Puerto Rican, and we are known for welterweights, not heavyweights.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That is true. But
John Ruiz at heavyweight. I mean, that didn't really go that well.
No.
John Ruiz and somebody else, Franz Oquendo.
Oquendo.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know he's Puerto Rican.
Yeah, he is, but like, you know.
Yeah, you're not claiming him. I see.
But he was a title contender. Yeah, he fought a couple of, you know, heavyweight
champions. Couple great champions. Okay. Yeah. All right, man. So we'll talk to you. We're going to get into a little bit of boxing. You've been working on the independent circuit, BK Fights, SD5 TV, the creator of BrooklynFights.com.
Yes.
And Shoot the 5 TV, that's SD5 TV.
Well, I would say this. With BrooklynFights.com, it's myself and Nat Wilkins. He's actually the founder of BrooklynFights.com.
Okay.
And we ventured off together, and I've been the person just holding it down for quite some time.
Talk to people about BrooklynFights.com who don't know. Explain them what it is.
So BrooklynFights.com is a website that was developed. Shout out to Nat Wilkins. BrooklynFights.com was a website developed some years ago. And it started off with Nat, myself, and another writer, and he was in the Midwest. So it was just basically three of us. But as the years progressed, I got more aggressive with the website, you know, covering more fights.
No, I've noticed.
Fights, things like that. Just taking the website to a whole nother level. So basically, I oversee everything within the website. I oversee the writing, the editing. I'm not throwing anybody under the bus, but it is just me, you know, taking care of things.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Pop yourself up. You hold it down.
But me and Nat communicate on a continuous basis.
Got you. Okay.
Nat is busy. He's a very, very successful man. He's busy out there in Cali. I'm not going to say what Nat does.
Okay.
He might be narcos. You never know.
We're not trying to make it hot for him, man.
Nah, but those are the
answers of questions that I want.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Of course, like, you want the answers to that. Now, Xavier, what about Shoot the 5
TV? GTA 5 takes place in California. Yeah. I just want to point that out.
It has to come back to GTA.
He loved that game, right?
He loves violence, man. I'm trying to tell you.
I was playing Splinter Cell last night.
Yeah. Sure. You know, that's a little more my speed. But okay, go ahead.
Now Shoot the 5 is I created that. Now, Shoot the 5, I created that through a lot of things that was taking place in the community in the sense of violence and people shooting each other instead of fighting.
The real violence.
The real violence.
Yeah.
So, you know, back in the days, there was this term, like, instead of picking up, you know, instead of shooting the 5, you shoot the five with your hands, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I started that brand, and then I ventured out, and I was initially just going to kind of just focus around boxers and such, and things like that.
Yeah.
But then I realized that I could actually take this to a whole different level and kind of cover like all different aspects of life.
We've talked about this in private.
You know,
We have.
So I figured, I said, you know what? I could talk to athletes, social workers, recovering addicts.
You've done entertainment events.
I've done entertainment events, politicians.
Red carpets.
Definitely red carpets.
Pick yourself up.
Yeah, I'm out here.
Yeah.
I'm doing the best I can, and I'm, you know, fashion shows. You know, I'm getting ready. I'm actually going to be covering another event tomorrow. Shout out Ray Luke Forsterson's web series, a fantastic web series.
Okay.
Second season. I'll be covering that red carpet tomorrow. So I realized that Shoot the Five is more than what initially I started with. And I said, I'm taking this to a whole nother level. And then I developed the podcast. I do all the scheduling myself. I reach out to all the guests, DM, text, whatever I got to do.
Okay.
I want you to come on because I like talking to people.
Yes, that's beautiful. It's all about positivity.
And I like highlighting different stories and different people because we all have some form of talent. So form of skill,
yep.
You know, something that I always say that, like, we're all connected. I forgot the poet that wrote this. But we're all connected by some form of invisible line, invisible thread.
Mm-hmm.
And we connect here, you connect there, but we all connect together. We have something positive together.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So that's another reason why I, you know, develop Shoot to Five.
That's
dope.
Aren't you also an author?
Yes, I am. Shout out PK Kersey. I am a best-selling author, Suited for Success, book series volume one. We just dropped another series, volume two, came out last week. Make sure y'all get the book. Y'all can.
Shooting for Success.
No, Suited for Success.
Suited for Success. Because, I like that.
Because your job.
I do public relations. Well, two jobs.
Two jobs.
I do public relations work for That Suits You, which is a nonprofit organization where we collect suits and ties, shirts, things like that, and for individuals in the community who are in need. And we try to help them get back to employment. We do workshops and things like that. We go to all different schools.
That's dope, man.
Colleges, churches. Mm-hmm. We've gone down south. We've been to Flint, Michigan. We've donated clothing to Flint, Michigan. We've helped out the water crisis out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We've donated clothing to people in the hurricane situation in Houston. We've been all over. We've even worked with Pastor Jamal Bryant, where he was in Maryland at the time. I believe he's in Atlanta now. We've worked with so many different type of dignitaries and just moved around from schools, churches, homeless shelters. Each week in the community, we out there.
I'm gonna talk to you about something. Gotcha. We could do something together, possibly, with that.
The light bulb just went off. I saw that invisible thread right there.
He said something. I was like, oh, there's something that we could do. It's gonna come together. We'll definitely talk about that. But the reason we got you here is this man in violence and boxing. And I'm a boxing fan too.
A lot of boxing.
I'm a boxing fan too. I want to kick it off with this, right? Brian and I always will talk a lot of boxing. That's kind of one of the sports we really vibe on too, and obviously you.
I see y'all vibe on basketball a lot.
Oh, yeah, basketball a lot too. We're big basketball heads too.
Basketball's
my number one. Yeah. But like, when I knew he liked boxing too, he knows his boxing as good as anybody that I know. Mm-hmm. What do you think boxing is today? This is the thing I always like to talk to people about, right? Like, because, and Brian's a little younger than us, but he's very knowledgeable about the history. So this isn't a guy who you're talking to who doesn't know the history.
Thank God for YouTube. I study.
Do you like where the sport is at today, honestly, Xavier? What do you think about it?
Honestly, I'd say yeah, because the sport has to, just like anything else in life, it has to evolve. And I think right now,
is it evolving though?
I think it is. I think we've changed from previous years where sports or the coverage of sports now is at a certain level where it's a little. It can get better. It can get better, but the sport itself is evolving to where people are getting more access to it. People are getting more information to it. And I credit that to social media. I credit that to some of the people who actually really cover the sport the right way.
Mm, I'm gonna just let you take it from there.
Fire!
Brian has very strong feelings on that. I happen to agree with him having been around. I'm gonna put it like this. You know, I'm gonna set it off. I'm gonna set it off this way. The last fight that I actually did some kind of coverage on was who did Triple G fight in his last
Derevchenko.
Derevchenko. Which was a good fight.
Right? I see you posted up. You was in the front. You had, you know, you was working.
I was working. Yeah. Okay, so you saw me.
I was ringside watching.
Watching.
I think you told me that. You were like, I think I saw that.
Yeah. So you never know who's watching you, man. Can't be slipping out here.
Nah, you was controlling everything. You was like, wait.
Yeah. I was helping out with ESPN International on the shoot with that. But when I went to the pre-fight stuff, and I've done a ton of pre-fight stuff.
Yeah.
Let's just keep it real here. There's some amateurs out there. Let's keep it real. There's some amateurs.
When you say amateurs, you mean fighters or just
media? Oh, no. The media. I'm talking about media coverage.
Copy.
Because, right.
Do you want to say facts. Media also?
Yo, that's actually a really good. And I don't even want to sound elitist. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you are too, my brother. I don't think you are. And I know Brian's not. But you see some people there, and there's people there who are really there to cover the sport.
Yes.
And really be in touch with it. And I'm going to really let Brian take off on this because this is more his lane. But there's people there I've seen who, you know, they're doing amateur. It's amateur hour.
Facts.
Right? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's amateur hour here. How do you feel about that? Because sometimes I'm like, if you're not really there to cover the sport, you're kind of just taking space for somebody else that could really be doing what they need to be doing.
Yeah, you corny.
Straight up. You know, sometimes that's all it needs to be said.
Like, you whack, you corny, I keep it a buck. Like, Brian, B or no, I call it B. Yeah. Brian, I let him know, like, and I'm like, not throwing no names out there because that's just how I move. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of whackness in the media game. There's a lot of corniness. It's a lot of riding.
Yeah.
It's a lot of holding.
He had air quotes right there.
You know what I mean? It's a lot of riding and it's a lot of holding.
You can say it.
It's a lot of dick riding. It's a lot of nut hugging.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's sad out there because you want people, you want the fighters and you want the people who are working with the fighters to respect us for doing what we're doing, doing our job. But when you got guys in the media, shout out my man Boxing Sweet Science. What's going on, fam?
Oh, I actually...
Yeah, that's my guy right there.
Oh, we've met. Okay.
When you got people out there that are, you know, they hover. Like, I mean, that's where the dick grind and the nut hugger coming in. And they hover you, the fighter per se, or whoever they trying to get the views from. Because, you know, at the end of the day, right now, it's all about YouTube. It's the visual. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't read no more, which I find kind of sad.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I'm a natural writer.
Yeah.
And I transcended over to the video piece because I kind of seen how boxing was being covered from a media standpoint. I'm going to get back to that also.
Yeah, sure.
But when you see people and you see them and they just...
Xavier's just moved a little closer to me. But and I know
they,
how it is.
But that's how they do.
Yeah, that's how they move.
They
right.
won't, and they will not let you leave their sight. And I get it. I get it because maybe that's the way you work. Maybe that's the way you need to get your views. But sometimes you got to have some type of respect about your position as a media person, as a media outlet, and also as a man or a woman, whoever you are. You're like, come on, have some respect.
Have some dignity. Have some dignity.
You know what I'm saying? Because you look corny, you look stupid, you look whack. Yeah. And then you make it bad for other people who are actually genuine, who actually are knowledgeable about the sport and what they're doing in their position. And then when you finally get the opportunity to talk to the people, like you said, amateur hour, the questions that they ask is, it's like, what? Oh, the sky is blue today. What do you think about the sky? Do you think it's going to rain tomorrow? Like what? Like, it just makes no sense to me.
This is kind of for both of you, but what do you think the problem is? Boxing is a sport that has had, I could say you have a little bit more access, right? Brian and I talk about this. Well, is the problem the access to too many people?
Actually, no, you don't get a lot of access because I'm sorry, Brian, because sometimes you get certain fighters that come in and they only talk to certain media outlets because they have a public relations team. Mm. And I get that.
Yeah.
Mm. And I get that. I respect that because that's the part of the boxing business. Mm-hmm. But then when you got guys who get the opportunity to get the one-on-ones, because none of us like to do scrums. No one likes to do scrums because scrums is the same information.
If you think basketball scrums are bad,
boxing scrums are awful. They're awful.
No one likes to do scrums. Awful.
They're the worst.
Because none of us have the same type of questions that we want to, or the information that we want to get from the fighter.
Right.
Yeah. Brian might have something different he want to ask a different fighter than
that's
I
That's why
might
I like one-on-ones.
You know, that's why
like
we like one-on-ones.
Yeah.
Right. But they do scrums because you have certain media outlets who just constantly ask stupid, silly, nonsense questions. Mm-hmm. And they make it bad for other media outlets who are actually out here really doing the damn thing.
The problem is, and Xavier and I have talked about this in private also, is that I think, I don't know where it sort of started. It may have started with Ellie Secback. He was doing ESN News, right?
Okay.
And he is the person.
Reporting.
Yeah, yeah. He was one of the like early YouTubers who's actually good and really, you know, got in there with boxing,
yeah.
For example. He would do a lot of boxing stuff where he'd sort of, like, he was the one of the early ones, right? And then a lot of people just sort of followed suit.
Yeah.
A lot of people that cover boxing, usually the YouTubers, a lot of the YouTubers, they don't have media training.
Yeah, so they really don't.
Yeah, they don't have media training. And while people may see that and roll their eyes or whatever and be like, oh, that doesn't matter, it actually does.
It does.
It helps you do your job better if you, you know, went to school for it or just learn how to do it.
Something.
You don't even need to go to school for it. You just learn how to do
some
it,
some form
right?
of professional etiquette.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
And people who understand that know what I'm talking about, and they're probably nodding their head right now. The people that don't, and there's a reason for
that. I think somebody might listen to that, and if they don't know, it's going to come across as like, oh, these guys think they're better, but that's not it. And
no, not at all.
You guys are in that space even more than me, but I've been in that space, and I know exactly what you're talking about,
like,
and you'd see the lack of etiquette that people will have there.
Like, you don't join the basketball team without playing the game first. You know what I'm saying?
That's
like,
a good analogy.
You don't do that. So basically, but in boxing, you can get away with that stuff. In boxing, you can just get away with that stuff. You could just literally get a camcorder, get your phone even now, because the phones have great cameras.
Right.
You could just start recording. Like, I could just go up to Xavier right here, put the phone up, ask him some questions, put that on my YouTube channel, and I could get a bunch of hits. So people figure that out because of the road that was sort of paved, and they've been able to try to exploit that. And what that does is now the people, as Xavier alluded to, that are actually covering the sport and actually trying to do some real reporting around the sport, now it's a battle between, like, the YouTubers and the actual reporters, that the YouTubers are winning because they're adapting to, I guess, where the times are going, and people care less and less about the journalistic qualities that people are trying to present when they're covering these sports. You know what I mean? So they're just using the sort of video and, you know, just the hit pieces and just clicks and clicks and all these clicks, right? And then the people that are trying to write these stories and tell the stories around it, like a Mark Kriegel.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And try to do it in sort of that way. Mark Kriegel's phenomenal, but really, how many people are there around boxing doing that now?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Compared to other sports. Because in basketball, like, while they're still like they're still like the video people or whatever, but in basketball, you have a lot of real reporting around that sport.
Yes.
Baseball, you have a lot of real reporting around that sport. Football, even, you have a lot of real reporting around that sport. Boxing, not so much.
A lot of newspapers and publications pulled away their boxing writers,
MMA, you have a lot of real reporting around that sport. Ariel Helwani went to Syracuse, and this is somebody who learned how to do the journalism, and now he's the Adrian Wojnarowski of that sport.
Right.
And that has helped grow the sport. Boxing doesn't have a lot of that.
That's
you have a
point.
Few guys. You have, you know, Dan Raphael, ESPN. You have Mike Coppinger, who's over here.
Edick on boxing scene.
You have a few guys.
Michael Woods, New York Fights.
Michael Woods is a good dude, too.
Like, you have a few guys, and me and Xavier write and have told real stories.
Mm-hmm.
Like, me and Dexter, we've done La Cultura. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And there have been other feature stories I've done around the sport. But for the most part, boxing doesn't have a lot of that. It's just guys, cameras, YouTube. It's the same thing. Let me ask Clarissa Shields about Wilder and this and, you know, Keith Thurman and this, and not really ask her anything about her until the very end. And it's very short.
I think you're right. You guys make this great point that how it definitely affects the other
writers.
So
all that is, and then at the end of the day, it's like, all right, you got your clicks. Now what? What are you doing? You know what I mean? Like, what's the sort of end game? It's just to keep getting news and keep generating clicks. And that's really a microcosm of where just journalism has gone, you know, period.
Yeah,
I agree. Like, it is.
That is just like, you know, oh, let's get the newsy stuff out there. Let's, instead of doing a 1,800-word feature, let's just do a 150-word recap on this breaking news story, you know, post a cool picture, put like 250 characters on the tweet, put a bunch of fire emojis or whatever to make people look at it instead of telling the real story around it like we were trained to do
so,
in school.
So Xavier, with that, with Brian just saying what he said, you know, what do you do as a boxing reporter to, you know, separate yourself and not be part of them people that are being corny?
Let me answer that for Xavier.
Yeah.
You do what he's doing and branch out and do other things besides boxing. Because if you're just doing the boxing stuff, you're only really going to get but so far if you're just a boxing reporter today. That sport is just not big enough. Unless you get to, unless you get one of those, what, six or seven seats that we were alluding to earlier.
Right.
Where the Athletic has a very small boxing team, but they have a boxing team. ESPN, PBC, unless you get one of those seats, and I guess the zone. Ugh. But if you get one of those
they
seats.
They got problems right now.
Yeah, if you get one of those seats, then that's really, you know, you're golden. But to do what Xavier doing, you know, that's to be commended because Thank that's you. Really how you navigate now.
Thank you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Big Thank applause you. To you for, you know, branching out for and sure. doing other stuff. And
was a drink chance for a second.
I do bang the table. Yeah, yeah. I was doing that man. before I knew drink chance was doing
We don't we only got water in these I cups, guys. Yeah. Only got water in these cups, man. All right, we gotta ask this because we just recently had the big fight. Everybody was anticipated.
Oh, you got more to add on the.
Actually, Now I need to move on from that. Go ahead. Yeah,
because what I'm thank you for both. You know, applauding me for stepping out and not just staying in boxing.
Oh, of course.
Because I did see the bigger picture, and this goes back to previously when myself and Nat was working together with the website. I saw the bigger picture with YouTube. I saw the bigger picture, which that's the reason why I also branched out and started doing videos myself. Because I said, okay, just being a writer alone doesn't, it'll capture the story, it'll capture the person. But then I see that, hey, people not read it. They want the visual. They want that quick fix, in a sense. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I said, okay, I'm going to start doing that also. Then I found myself caught up in a mix of trying to figure out, am I going to be a videographer, you know, interview on camera, or am I going to be a writer?
Yeah.
So I had to find balance in that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so from there, that's when I said, I can't be stuck in one lane and just I'm a video this fighter and then I'm a write about this fighter.
Yeah.
I got to step out of boxing and find myself. Yeah. Because there's not a lot of avenues of boxing.
There's not.
You know, it's either you post on Instagram or you go into the fight, you caption a little video, or you go into the press conference, catch a little video, you post it on your YouTube page, and you label it whatever you want to label it.
Yeah.
And then people are tune in and watch it, and it's like, okay, wow.
Are people supporting the independent media in boxing, though? Is that part of the problem?
You mean on YouTube?
Yeah.
YouTube is like,
it could be YouTube. It could be writing. Like,
there are some good YouTube media outlets. Yeah. We're not saying that.
The issue is they're probably supporting some of them too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if they are getting that support.
But that's why people keep doing it. I mean, the majority of it is, you know, guys just, like, they just sort of figure out, like, oh, I can get into boxing one day because it's very easy to kind of get credentials.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy to just open up a YouTube, and then after a while, it's like, all right, now I can start doing fights. It's very easy to do that.
Mm-hmm.
The avenue is there for that, so people are just exploiting it for better or for worse.
Yeah.
It is interesting in terms of like what's going on with the sport. Yeah,
that's why I cover it the way I do. I just get in and out like Andre Ward. You know what I'm saying?
We're only here for business. You just here for business.
Some people come there for more stuff. Than
business. Of course they
you
do.
See it.
I want to take a picture with this fighter because I love him.
That's
he's my king. We're gonna get to that.
This is the part of it. This is the part of it that we haven't touched on that we probably should like. A lot of these dudes, like, they're essentially an extension of Boxers Media Relations teams. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, they're essentially, like, it's not journalism.
Look, I'm going to say this. If you consider yourself a respected member of the media, this is my opinion.
Yeah.
And you go to, first of all, if you go to, like, a sparring session or something, come on. Don't be doing the pictures with the fighters.
Yeah.
You go to the pre-fight press conference. You can't be taking pictures of fighters. I've seen people consider themselves well-respected media doing it. And I'm like, I don't know how I feel about that.
I think I give you a pass if in a situation where you have sort of a Josina Anderson like one-on-one with the person.
Yeah, that's different.
And you take a
Right, that's different. Yeah,
but again,
that's different.
None of them are doing that kind of reporting.
I've seen the kind of, as Xavier said, the inch up next to the person and then the run up like, let me get this picture with you, right?
I've seen dudes in press rooms in full gear with another fighter's name on it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, we've seen
that.
Wild corny,
like,
man.
I've seen full, like, I don't remember if it was Danny Garcia or Keith Thurman jumpsuit, you know what I'm saying? Like, in a press room. Like, you see that sort of stuff in the sport. Like, you see that more than, like, think about it. What if you went to, that's the equivalent of literally, you go to cover a Knicks game and somebody has not an RJ Barrett jersey, an RJ Barrett uniform. You know what I'm saying? Like the jersey, the shorts,
and they're up in the locker room asking questions.
Like that guy that was wearing in California, where he had the whole Michael Jordan jump out for. He had the whole suit on playing basketball on the court.
Yeah, I remember.
You remember that, right?
But that's the thing. Boxing does have a good amount of that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like it does.
Yeah, the picture taking. You're right.
I think that hurts the sport and how people look at the sport from the outside. But one, nobody really notices it to that degree.
I think you can't notice it unless you're there to see it. And it's really hard to see.
And two, I don't think enough people care. So that just continues to just go as is.
Yeah, I think it.
But I think you could argue, you can make a strong argument, and I probably would. In fact, I will. That's one of the reasons that the sport has been hurt and not really as popping as it probably should be.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like right now, like if you're ranking where boxing is in terms of popularity
across the world,
across the world, I don't know what is it. Is it in the top five? It's not top five in America.
That's a good question.
It is not top five in America.
No, and at one point it was, but also horse racing was like insanely popular in America at one point.
But if you thought that was going to continue, then you're stupid. Horse racing?
There is a segment of population that did think that would continue. Okay. You think about that, you know exactly who that is.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/AHTT. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Boxing still means things in pockets of the world that it doesn't mean here, right? So it means a lot to, I think, people from your country, like Puerto Rico,
it
Mexico.
Means a lot to us. It would help if we get a fight.
Yeah, I even think for like black people in America, it doesn't mean the same thing as it used to.
You guys will watch Deontay Wilder, obviously Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, if there's a big fight, you get behind him.
You'll watch your own if he's immensely popular. How many? And I ask this like sincerely. I actually don't know. Were black people gathering their TVs to watch Andre Ward versus Sergey Kovalev?
That's a good question.
No, I don't think so.
That's a good question.
It's got to be a really transcendent black boxer.
That's a really good question to ask.
Because Andre Ward was the best fighter in the world outside of Floyd Mayweather when he was active.
Yeah, but they weren't really behind him like that.
Were you guys watching Timothy Bradley and Manny Pacquiao in support of Timothy?
I actually watched that fight.
There wasn't nobody running to the TV to see Tim Bradley fight.
Yeah,
but look at who we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
To see Manny, but not Tim Bradley.
That's actually part of the reason I watched the fight.
And Manny Pacquiao is, I mean, if you're going to compare the NBA equivalent, what is that, James Harden? You know what I mean?
No, I think Manny Pacquiao is an icon in boxing. James Harden is just a superstar. We could talk about basketball too if y'all want. Because you know what I mean?
Who's your team? Do you have a team?
I'm just trying to think of who's a top five.
But when you said that, I feel like I know who your team is.
Nah, it ain't the Knicks.
Oh, I thought it was the Knicks. You said it with some disappointment.
I was going to say, because I'm saying James Harden because I'm trying to think who's a top five player.
Yeah.
You know, that's been a top five player for a while. I don't think James Harden's a top five player, but he's close. But Manny Pacquiao might not be a top five pound fighter right now.
But he's an all-time great.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Like, he's an icon of the sport. Like, there's certain people, and I always tell a lot of people this, like, when you think about icons of the sport, whether it be boxing, basketball, you know, even baseball, Derek Jeter, he's an icon of baseball, in my opinion.
You know what I'm saying?
He's an iconic player.
Basketball, Mike Jordan, Kobe Bryant. Vince Carter, superstar. Not icon.
Agreed.
But superstar.
Agreed.
There's levels.
That's a good icon.
Yep.
He's an icon.
Here's why. He's transcendent. Exactly. He transcended the sport.
Yeah. Exactly.
You have to transcend the sport in some way.
To be an icon.
Yeah.
Shaq, an icon.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So Elijah Wan, superstar.
So who's Manny Pacquiao? Durant?
I would say Manny
Curry?
I think Manny Pacquiao's an icon as well.
Right. So you got to put him in somebody who's like already like... Manny Pacquiao.
Seth Curry's an icon.
He's right. You're right.
Not yet.
I think he is.
Not yet.
I think he is. I think
Steph Curry is still a superstar.
If you want to say it's too early, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I think he will be an icon.
I think he
did have a huge impact on the game.
From how far he's shooting on the other side of the
That's
world.
That's what I mean. I'm weighing an impact.
Got you.
And I think 10 years from now, you'll look back and be like,
he's the truth.
And that's right. We might be too in the middle of it to really call it. I'm fine with that, saying that too. Like that's
LeBron, icon.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
For sure.
Kevin Durant, superstar.
Before we get into
You're not putting Durant there yet. And I understand. I think he could be there. Yeah. I think he could be.
I don't think he'll ever get there.
Who?
Kevin Durant.
Why do you think that?
I don't think Kevin Durant will ever get to icon status in basketball.
Really?
Never.
Oh,
what would he have to do to do it?
I hope some Net fans listen to this one.
They're gonna be right outside.
They'll come for you.
They're gonna have to because all the money they spend.
Good. I'm tired of them coming for me.
They spending too much bread. I mean, come on.
To not see Kyrie on the court?
Yeah.
Sorry, Nets fans have to do it. Yeah.
Kyrie will never reach that level either. Status? There's a difference.
Kevin
Durant will never get it. And this is no shot at Kevin Durant because I like him as a basketball player.
Nah, I think Kevin Durant is.
Kevin Durant will never get a statue with his name. Facts.
You don't think he will?
Yeah, unless it's at his high school.
You know what's funny? You know what's funny about that? We always talk about this when going to a whole other topic, but the retired jersey statue. If somebody will put a statue up, that does make you iconic. Yeah. I completely agree with that, right? For Kevin Durant to get a statue, I don't know where you put the statue.
You can't put it anywhere.
Steph Curry's going to get a statue outside. Facts. See, that's why I think he's going to be an icon.
He'll get it after he retires.
Retires. Yeah.
Kevin Durant ain't getting no statue after he retires.
He'll get one. What if he gets one in D.C.?
What if he won?
In his high school.
What if he won two championships in Brooklyn?
He still won't be an icon.
Wait.
He'd have four titles.
You got four titles, but you slid out on your team. That held you down for all the years.
But you don't think that if he wins two with the Nets, that he'll have a statue outside of a coffee shop in Williamsburg?
Hell no.
It wouldn't be in Williamsburg. It better be on Flatbush in Atlantic.
For one, he didn't start in Brooklyn. His career didn't start in Brooklyn.
But the Nets need to have somebody.
I don't think the Nets need
a statue. Julius Irvin or somebody.
I agree with you. I'm just saying that team might be a little bit more desperate to create some history.
Everyone walking by.
You're trolling now. You're trolling.
You know him too well.
I see it in his eyes. I was like, yo.
You saw it in his eyes.
Yeah, I was like, yo, you're trolling.
Everybody's going to be walking by with their Starbucks cup looking at the Julius Irvin statue like, yo. Who's that?
Y'all managed to piss off two different people.
They're going to be like, yo,
Brooklyn Nets fans.
Real quick.
And people from Williamsburg. Or living in Williamsburg. Yeah. Probably not from Williamsburg.
David's going to be like, yo, Hannah, do you remember who Julius Irvin is?
David and Hannah. Wow. Woo. Wow. I'm about to see a friend Hannah this evening. Wait till I see her. I'm like, you got stereotyped in a whole different kind of way that you didn't even know.
I would like to see a statue of AI in Philly.
I think he deserves a statue.
Even
though he didn't win a title, I have no problem with that.
Nah, but winning is hard, man.
Winning is hard, but he meant so much to people.
And he almost did, by the way.
He almost got to the finals, which he carried the team. And like you said,
one game, one.
What he means to the sport, crossing over with hip-hop,
everything
is so much. He transcended it in such a way that's unlike anybody else. I'm with you. So I agree with you. Everybody doesn't deserve a statue. We've had this discussion. That's another. Everybody don't deserve a statue.
Yeah.
All right? Like, you can't be giving everybody a statue. D-Wade should get a statue in Miami.
Yeah.
The next people should get a statue. You don't think D-Wade should get a statue?
In Miami?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where else is he
going to get it?
I wish he'd have played one more year.
Nah, he deserves a statue, bro.
He got three championships.
He do.
You want to tell me a couple of
And he got one finals MVP.
Fine,
and he got one by himself, too. When I say by himself, like, I mean, he had Shaq on the team and everybody else, but he did kind of.
To me, with Miami, I'd put all three of them in a statue.
Who? Wade, Bosh, and LeBron.
LeBron? Yeah.
No. I wouldn't be.
I would have all three of them in a single statue. Nah. That's what I mean.
You got to give it to Wade. You think of the Heat, you think of Wade.
I'm not Bronze and Chris Bosh. Chris Bosh. I'm not doing that with him.
And they can't bronze LeBron. LeBron's statue is going to Cleveland.
Yeah, facts.
You could have one in Miami, too.
The only other person I think I've had this conversation with a friend recently. The only other person I think in the NBA that could get a statue, player just retired, is Dirk in Dallas. Dirk deserves a statue as well, too. International, man. You might not look at him as iconic here, but he's got that appeal.
And he played his whole career with Dallas.
Yeah, he deserves a statue, no doubt.
And he's like ranked on the top scoring list.
Yeah,
I don't know where he's at.
He's like six or seven.
Yeah, in the top 10. Yeah,
what about Patrick Ewing?
Where you gonna put it at? Jamaica? Respect to Pat.
PE33 is my man. I love him. I'm a diehard Knicks fan.
After Pippen dunked on him, no statue.
We're gonna move on.
After Pippen dunked on him, no statue.
You should have brought that up. Wait, who's your team, man?
Actually, my team right now, I would have to say Detroit.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Detroit, he said what?
All right, hold on.
Yeah.
Who was your team before?
Before?
Yeah, you said
And
right
how
now.
Often does this change?
Every year.
So why do you like Detroit this year?
I just like the way that they're playing right now. I think they're, excuse me. I like the way they're playing because I see the changes that they're making. I don't know if they're gonna make the playoffs. I highly doubt they'll make the playoffs. But I just like the hard effort that they put in. Just like Memphis Grizzlies. I really love them. I really love
that one. I understand.
I love
Detroit,
though.
Detroit, yeah, I like the upside.
I like Derrick Rose, and I like the way he's moving right now, you know? And I think if they continuously build in the right path, they could have something.
Okay.
Backpack Broadcasting continues to bring you the best original sports content, but now you can get more of the content you love. For as little as $3 a month, you can get access to bonus content, including behind-the-scenes footage and interviews from the Sports Walk, Sideline Stories, or the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast. All this exclusive content comes via Patreon. There are tiered levels of patronage, and each Backpack Broadcasting patron receives exclusive perks. Your support helps Backpack Broadcasting create more of the original content that you love. Visit Backpack Broadcasting's Patreon page and become a patron today.
All right, what'd you think of Wilder Fury 2?
Yes, let's go with that.
Let's get to it, right?
Let's get to that.
All right, so we own it, like Beto say.
Yep. We are on it.
All right, so Wilder Fury 2. And shout out to my man, what's going on, Big Dave? That's Danny Jacobs' trainer, strength and conditioning trainer.
Okay, okay.
Shout out to Danny Jacobs.
Shout out to Danny Jacobs, too. Yeah. Facts.
Brooklyn. Got a story on him before, too.
Yeah.
A real one.
So, stupid. He had to throw that dart up in there, a real
really?
One.
You didn't just go take a picture with Danny Jacobs?
He said a real one.
So Danny Jacobs, great interview, by the way.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
Really
man.
Good dude.
Yeah.
So Wilder Fury, right? Two.
Who'd you have going in, first of all?
Oh, facts. I had Wilder all day. I ain't gonna lie.
Wilder winning how?
Seventh round KO.
I had him 12th round.
Quite the opposite happened.
I had him 12th round.
Yeah,
KO.
The complete opposite.
Complete opposite.
Yeah.
So seventh round KO is what you had.
I had.
Did you feel very confident about that?
I would say 80% confident.
Okay, that's
given the fact of everything that Wilder has done throughout his career thus far, and the style of the matchup. And going off of everything he's achieved after the fight. Now, we all know what happened in the first fight with the draw. Fury was winning the first fight. Everybody believes that, I'm pretty sure, except for Wilder and his people. And then Wilder got the two knockdowns, right? But everything that took place after that, Fury went and fought Otto Wayland.
Yep.
And he went and fought, and it was another guy from Sweden or something like that, or Finland, that he knocked out in the first and second round. So I looked at the competition level from the people that Wilder fought afterwards, which is two fights with Ortiz,
which were great fights,
and Dominic Brazil, which you can probably just erase and don't even have to mention.
Yeah, but he did what he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, looking at the styles of the fights and the competition level and how he defeated both men, and then going into this fight, I just said, I didn't see Fury winning. Stupid me didn't do my Google. Didn't do my homework on Sugar Hill Stewart. And didn't understand that by going back to Detroit, by going back to where you kind of like been training for years with Emmanuel Stewart, you really went and got some, and I'm going to throw the racial card out there. You really went back, got some race, some blackness in you. You went and got a black trainer to beat a black fighter. Because the trainer you had with Ben Davidson previously wasn't the man to get you the athleticism, get you all the skill, the knowledge to defeat Deontay Wilder. He came in there with a superb game plan. That strategy was magnificent. Sugar Hill Stewart comes from the lineages of all different type of trainers in one. From Emmanuel Stewart and all different type of fighters in one. James Toney, Gerald McClendon, all these guys. And Tommy Hearns, any fighter trainer that came up in that era when his brother was one of the best trainers, all that information, knowledge went right into Tyson Fury for this fight. That's where I made the mistake at. Not looking at the greatness of his trainer. I looked at it as, well, he changed trainer, or he definitely going to lose. Didn't even pay attention to who his trainer was.
He did look
prepared. He was a whole different person.
He looked like, I mean, look, we all can look at Tyson Fury. He doesn't look like the most athletic dude, or you don't, but he's got some power.
Yeah.
And he did look prepared. I was stunned at how bad Wilder looked. Now, in the beginning, I think we all know from watching Wilder's fights. He'll take some shots.
Yeah.
He'll wait for
He'll loosen up.
He'll wait for that opportunity.
He landed the biggest shot of round one and round two.
Yes. Wilder, he definitely landed some right hands.
I was like, oh, this is typical Deontay Wilder. Yeah. He'll eventually
That's kind of how I was looking at it. He got a shot in, but those shots did not look to stun Fury. It didn't look like it stunned Fury. He looked like he ate them, and it was like, okay.
Because a lot of them didn't land clean.
Right.
They were landing, but they wasn't landing so clean where, like you said, they were effective. Like, oh, mm-hmm. I need to be mindful because he's reaching me a little bit, but I know my game plan is still intact. Fury did one thing that threw me off. The first punch the bell said ding. Fury went right across the ring and punched him right in the face. Wake up. Yep. We in a fight. And Wilder's like, oh, he just punched me in the face. Now you got Wilder on the back foot trying to do whatever he can to survive. From the first round to the second round to the rest of the fight. And he just continuously pushed him, leaned on him, used his height, used his reach, and used his God-given strength. Bigger man, I'm going to lean on you. Wilder ain't bust so strong. He top heavy, but not bottom heavy.
Legs.
You know what I'm saying? And on top of that, when we on the inside, I'm going to bang that body. So I'm taking away all your stamina, all your conditioning, and all you got is this because your legs is gone.
Anytime he had him in the corner, worked the body,
that's it.
Came up, anytime.
He made it a rough, tumble, pushing, shoving, aggressive fight where Wilder couldn't get the timing down, and he was already gassed by the third round. He was already gassed by the second round.
He looked
out of it in the second round.
Really out of
it.
I was highly concerned because he needed to make, like, in the first fight, he was just telegraphing all of his overhand rights.
Yes.
And
very predictable.
Tyson Fury kept ducking and slipping under. Yeah. So I was like, obviously, you would need to feint and lead with an uppercut.
Yes.
In order to counter that.
Or even throw the left hook. You know, you jab left. Because the jab off a left hook is one of the prettiest punches in boxing.
It is. Because
people don't see it.
Yeah.
You could jab, but just Klitschko was beautiful
with that. Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Stewart taught him that, and it was like one of the best punches I've ever seen.
Floyd Mayweather does it very well.
Yeah, he does it too. Yeah.
Another good person. Yep.
And Roy Jones Jr., even though his angles
were
insane.
Favorite fighter of all time, too.
I don't think he's
up there for me.
Yeah. Oh, Roy Jones?
Yeah.
He's number one for me.
For you?
He's number two.
Yeah.
Damn, I have a daughter. I'm about to come back to end the podcast. I don't know who my favorite fighter of all time is.
Well, mine is Felix Trinidad. You already know.
Yeah. Like. I was a Mike Tyson. I really like Pernell Whitaker when I was growing up a lot, too. Okay. I used to watch him a lot, too. But y'all got to think about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was disappointed in Wilder because Black History Month and he came out trying to represent.
He represented it
with the walk-in.
He came. Let me say something about that. Wilder, and because I'm getting a lot of heat on YouTube, I'm getting a lot of heat on Facebook and Instagram, getting a lot of DMs and all that.
Why? Because you're not taking pictures of boxes?
Because you're stupid. Because I speak my piece about it, and I'm going to be honest with it. I think Wilder's good for the sport of boxing, and he's great for the sport of boxing in the sense of African-American culture because he represents it the best way he can. And he puts it out there all the time. He puts out the issues that are taking place, the inner issues that we may not know about, but that they know about on the top level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's constantly talking about that. He's constantly raising awareness and constantly trying to, you know, give back to the community. He's constantly pushing the agenda forward, right? Came out, did a beautiful, beautiful walkout. Some of the greatest African-Americans ever.
40-pound costume.
Yep.
The costume, I didn't understand the costume. I felt like you was fugazi, you was boo-boo for wearing that, you was stupid for wearing that. You cannot come in a ring and say, oh, the costume took away my energy, my legs.
Do you think the
that.
Costume was 40 pounds, like he said?
I believe it was, because that shit looked heavy.
But why?
It looked like a big bag of metal.
He didn't know how much
it was. And
it
was a long walk.
Yeah.
So
I actually don't think his excuse for the costume like affecting his legs is like crazy. Yeah. I just don't think he should have said it.
Right. Yeah. Nobody's trying to hear that. That's the point. That's the thing.
And on top of that, you paid the bread for that, and you had to have tried that on prior to even coming to the ring. That's tailor made.
Yeah. Well, like he didn't know it was 40 pounds before he put it on.
You had to put that on plenty of times before you got to the ring.
Right.
Before fight
and
day.
People were trying to compare like, oh, Anthony Joshua didn't win out like that. And I'm like, please. They said he got knocked out in sparring.
Yeah.
Fight.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? And then the zone has the audacity after that fight to post a picture of Anthony Joshua standing across the ring from Tyson Fury that they made. Implying that they would actually have the balls to set that fight up. Come on.
That's his, you know, thing about this whole.
Come on.
Well, he also.
They would rather have Anthony Joshua fight Jake or Logan Paul.
He also.
What are you talking about?
He also,
man,
does not think Anthony Joshua wants anything to do with Wilder or can handle Wilder. He
I agree with him.
Yeah.
But after this showing against Fury, I think right now it's a 50-50 fight.
Yeah. Maybe this affects things.
So when we first started the pod, I guess a couple years ago, we had this conversation. And back then, I was on the Joshua could take Wilder.
Oh, nah.
I can say when I was wrong. I was tripping. Yeah.
After I saw the Andy Ruiz thing, I was like, yo.
And whatever. Yes. Like, and I was okay. No.
Andy Ruiz is a good heavyweight.
But no. You know what I mean?
I
saw that performance and I'm like,
He wasn't like people say that win aged better than it actually was.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? I mean, it was a great win for Andy Ruiz, but what I'm saying is like originally, and people forget this, Jarrell Miller was going to fight Anthony Joshua.
Yeah.
Yes.
He got suspended. I think in 6 weeks, Andy Ruiz was forced to turn around after he just fought.
That quick.
Mm-hmm. And he wasn't exactly recognized as a top five or even top 10 heavyweight at the time.
Yes.
It was kind of like, oh, replacement. You know, this is going to be a Joshua, you know, coming out party in America. He hadn't fought in America yet. He's only fought in the UK. He came to Madison Square Garden and he got his ass whooped. Like point blank.
And then
the second fight, people say, oh, that he made adjustments and he outboxed Andy Ruiz. And I'm like, I mean, did he though? Or did Andy Ruiz
Ruiz
show up way out of shape?
Both.
Showed up to training late. Yeah, like 2 months late or whatever the case may be. And was just winded very early. And Anthony Joshua was able to keep his distance more because Andy Ruiz wasn't in shape at all.
So where do you think this leaves Wilder? I mean, obviously Wilder's going to do this rematch.
He's still second best heavyweight in the world.
I'm still like this goes back to the first question about the black culture and all that.
Yeah,
I'm not cool with bowing down to no man.
Like everybody's just a man.
Yeah, like we are all kings. We are all whoever we are.
Not all of us.
Okay.
We all have the potential to be kings. Yeah. Let's put it like that.
I saw his statement yesterday. Your king is back.
Oh, yeah. You
not my king, bro.
Yeah.
Facts. You not my king, bro. Right. You are Deontay Wilder. You're highly respected for who you are in boxing, for holding down the WBC title for as long as you did.
Also, what does that mean?
Yeah, you're not my king.
Your king is back. What does that mean?
But the thing is, it's the riders, it's the huggers that my king, Deontay Wilder's my king. Deontay Wilder, what do you mean?
Grown men and women are saying this?
Yes.
But you know what?
Congratulations to Wilder on that because you built that fan base, you built that love. I'm not taking that away from you. I just don't agree with calling another man. If I say, what's going on, King? Peace, King. Peace, bro. That's something different.
Oh, that's different. Yeah.
But I'm not going to say, he's my king.
But this isn't even But you know what? That's not even a Deontay Wilder thing as much as just a celebrity worship societal thing that people just do.
We are in that.
Yeah, it's just people just
which is sad.
But this is what it is. It's like now because everyone has their phone in their hands all the time, people think that, oh, if I just drop a comment on somebody's thing on every single post that they have, this person's going to eventually see me, and then we could talk and get it popping, and I could become cool with this person.
Except
whether it's Deontay Wilder or Naomi Osaka, or it doesn't matter.
Yes.
It doesn't matter who the person is. So I think that's more of what that is.
Glad you explained it that way, because I think people sometimes misunderstand where I'm coming from with it, and they're like, oh, you're just trying to clown Deontay Wilder. It has nothing to do with clowning Deontay Wilder.
Right. Yeah. It has nothing to do with Deontay Wilder.
Yeah, that too.
It has nothing to do with him. Yeah. It's just the people that support him.
But I still want to know what he means by the king is back. Like, yo, you took an L.
Well, to be fair, Conor McGregor said that too and got away with it. So I'm not gonna kill the black dude for doing it.
Conor McGregor gets away with a lot.
I ain't gonna kill the black dude.
I guess what I'm saying sometimes is like, look, you took an L. It was not your best performance. It happens. But we know sports is boxing.
Yeah.
Do I think? Let me ask you this question.
Yes.
Do you think Wilder can make the adjustments for the third fight and come back and win?
I think he can make the adjustments. I don't know if he can win. I think after everything,
I would do the reverse.
I think he's done a lot of. He can make the adjustments. I just don't know what he can do to win. The only way you're going to win is if you knock Fury out. That's it.
If anybody could,
it could be Wilder.
Right.
It could be Wilder.
That's the only. I give him.
But
the
I just don't
chance.
See how. After he got beat up. He got beat.
Yeah, he got
an ass whipping.
Well, what if he shows up, like, what if he just walks to the ring, no costume, no nothing, no mask, nothing?
Yeah, if he come in with some title drawers, then, you know, well, just regular Adidas kicks.
Well, here's the thing. If that's the adjustment we're talking about, him coming up to the ring, excuse me, with no mask, what are you adjusting?
If I were him, I would that, like,
scratch out all the BS, get back to the homework, get back to the real grind that got you where you at.
Just do it.
That's what I'm thinking he needs to do.
That's the adjustment.
Just show up. Just look, if anything, show up with the Bronze Bomber mask, because I do like the mask.
Yeah, he's everybody done loves the mask.
I like when he does the mask.
Just show up with the mask, nothing else. I wouldn't show up with the mask.
You wouldn't show up with the mask?
Just his face?
I would, yeah, just come out.
My friend said Deontay Wilder should put a mask on of his actual face on the mask.
What?
Why not? I'm here for that.
I think Wilder.
Nah, you know what? He should wear a Tyson Fury mask.
I think this is you stupid. I think Wilder
mind game
goes back to the. He needs to go back to the drawing board. He needs to definitely get his mental focus right if the third fight gets made.
Yeah.
Because Fury is gonna tear him an asshole in his mind. Fury is a mental.
Yeah.
Strategist.
Yeah.
He's going to break him down mentally so bad, because he's already been breaking him down mentally throughout the years. Everywhere you go, you're a Dasa. Everywhere you go, you are a Dasa. You go in the airport, hey, Dasa. I don't even know what the word means, but it sounds hilarious when you call somebody that.
It also sounds like it could be problematic.
Yeah, you know? And then the fact that he beat you, stopped you, said he was going to knock you out, and then you're going to have to face him again the third time around, knowing the type of how great he is mentally, how great he is already physically. He has this over you already.
Yeah.
You got to come in. Deontay Wilder, in my opinion, if you're going to win your third fight, mm-hmm. you got to come in so focused. So you have to go back to the grind. You got to go back to what got you where you are today.
But can he fight the same way that we normally see from Wilder, where he's trying to figure things out in the first couple of rounds and waiting to land that shot? Can he still do that?
Wilder add feints?
Yes, he can.
Could he do this?
He can add feints, but he also has to add people to the team. Mm. Mark Breland is he's just not the answer for Fury. Mm, Mark Breland and others would be the answer for Fury.
What if he linked up with, I'm just throwing a name out there because I have no idea whether or not this is going to happen. What if he got Andre Rozier?
If Wilder got Rozier, and he needs more than Rozier.
April Sanchez?
That ain't going to cut it. He need like a...
I'm trying to think, like, you know what I'm saying?
He need like a...
Because he does need something like that outside the box.
Somebody that's got a little more experience or comes from...
I want it to be balanced. I would say, like, if we go throw in Rozier, it would be Mark Breland and Rozier. And then I would want a younger trainer, maybe like a Derek James and a Calvin Ford.
Derek James would be
interesting. That'd be a strong team.
Yeah.
Derek James.
Because it's the knowledge. Mm-hmm. It's the knowledge that I'm looking at that Sugar Hill Stewart has put into Tyson Fury. And the lineage of where Tyson Fury comes from and that gypsy fighting back where we from, United Kingdom. He's coming in as a natural born fighter. He was born where they was fighting. Mama gave birth, she went back to fight. That's my turkey. You know what I mean? And he's been fighting all his life. And now you add the boxing piece and all the science that comes with it from one of the greatest gyms ever in Kronk and the history of that. You go on the war. If you got five guns, you need to have five guns.
What about Virgil Hunter?
Nah.
You don't think so?
Nah.
Mm,
respect for Virg, but nah. He needs some killers, and he needs some history.
Do you think he will? Because I think that's a good term thought in terms of adjustment and actually building up his training staff. Do you think he will do something like that? Is there going to be a shakeup on the staff? Are we going to see some changes?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Apparently, he's retaining his trainer.
Yeah, he's retaining. I believe he's apologized to Mark Breland, because he made a mockery of that whole situation, and they need to go check JD's on that as well. That was some foul ish right there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We all know that Mark Breland threw in the towel, but Mark Breland threw in the towel simply because he cared about you, he loved you, he wanted to save your life.
Kenny
Bayless was about to stop the fight anyway.
And Deontay Wilder said he wanted to die in the ring, which I'm like, bro, I mean,
it's a little dramatic, and I don't like what he did there. Look, the guy throws in the towel for you.
he's looking out for you. This is the guy you're paying to look out for you. So you
that's
can.
Been in your yeah, camp man. For 12 yeah. years. Like, he's been with you for 12 years.
Yeah, yeah, I forgot it was even you know that what I'm long. Saying?
Mark Breland right. been with you for a minute. Shelly Finkel went and got Mark Breland because right. he wanted Mark Breland to train him a specific way. Because basically, if you look at Mark Breland and you look at Deontay Wilder, they're the same type of fighter. Mm-hmm. Tall, long, skillful, fast, jab, long, all that. Yeah. So Mark Breland had a tough career going towards the end of his, you know, towards the end of his career. But Deontay Wilder, Mark Breland don't want to see you go through that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm gonna save you from this fight right here. We go back to the drawing board, we get bigger, we get better. But you don't throw me under the bus.
Yeah, I don't know how they're gonna repair that, but
yeah, that's something them two gotta sit down and holler at Polly with.
Cause that's got to be awkward the way he came about it. Yeah. He did throw him on the bus,
and then he made a general statement like when the very next day or the day after ESPN came out with this report and Keith Idick from Boxing Scene and Mike Coppinger, all these dudes came out with the same report, the same quotes, with Deontay Wilder saying what he was saying about Mark Breland. I want to die on my shield. He should have never did this. He should have never did that. I'm going to think about my decision. I'm going to go to Africa and come back and decide whether or not I'm going to keep him on my team. Then a couple of days later, I hear that he released him from the team.
And then yesterday,
I saw that some quotes that said he's back on the team, that they had a conversation, and that's when the King is back thing.
This is why you need real reporting around boxing. Look at all the people that got those quotes.
Mm-hmm. Who else do you like?
That's why I said when I read the articles, I said, okay, all y'all got the same quotes, mm-hmm. and y'all the top dogs in writing, supposedly. Y'all the top dogs of writing and boxing, the top journalists, but y'all all got the same quotes? Will y'all all listen to the same podcast episode or something? Like, did he make a recording and just send it to y'all? Like, or did somebody write something, it from PBC and send it to y'all?
Somebody.
Because everybody had the same quote.
Yeah, that means
they just broke it up a certain way. Right.
They just sent it to certain people.
Yeah, they only sent it to certain people.
But look at who they sent it to.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, look at who gets that.
We're going to send it to the top dogs to kind of pretty it up.
Right.
But it didn't get prettied up. It got broken down the same way because they all broke it down the same way.
Right.
Yeah. And they ended up being right about it.
Who else are you liking in the sport right now? I'm a big...
In boxing,
yeah.
Oh, top fight you want to see in 2020.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. Who do you like in the sport? Yeah, what top fights do you want to see in 2020? That can realistically happen. Because, you know, we always get into these fights that can realistically happen.
Mine was, and the reason I say was, you'll know why, right away, was Tevin Farmer, Gervonta Davis. Tevin Farmer just lost his fight, and I don't know what's going on with Gervonta Davis. Mm-hmm. Now it's Deontay Wilder, Anthony Joshua, probably.
Okay.
Yeah. Y'all still got to do it at some point.
I don't know if it'll happen this year.
I agree. Like, I think Wilder and Joshua still has to fight.
Yeah.
But like Dex said, I don't know if it's gonna happen. This year.
I don't care. I don't care.
But they definitely got to fight still.
Yeah. And I don't care about titles. The hype behind that fight,
you know.
Yeah, we don't care about titles in the same way we used to. Like, just make that fight happen. Make it a 12 rounder. Like, people are saying, oh, Anthony Joshua's in the driver's seat because he has 3 titles. Nobody care about that shit.
After he lost, nobody cares about it. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, nobody cares. The titles is
not a bargaining chip.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
And there's like there's a bunch of it's not like UFC where there's one champion per weight class like there should be in boxing probably.
Boxing,
there's 5 champions in every weight class because the WBA wants to have a regular title and a super title and sometimes they'll have an interim title.
As well as the WBC.
They got that
the WBC has the diamond championship.
Don't get me started on that.
Titles don't mean it.
Who do you like and who do you want to see fight this year?
Well, first off, I'm highly anticipating Teofimo Lopez against Vasyl Lomachenko. And that's supposed to take place in the Garden.
So I'm glad you brought that. I'm a big Lomachenko fan. I love but
I'm a big Tio fan.
I like both of them.
Yeah, so I can say I like both of them.
Yeah.
But he put me on to watch Tio.
Yeah.
That boy's
good. He's good.
He's good. Like, I think he could give Loma some issues.
But I want to see that for Loma. Yeah. Just because I like a fighter doesn't mean I never want to see the
You
challenge.
Want to see a great challenge.
Yeah. And I think he's that challenge. Okay, is that fight done?
It's supposed to take place May 30th, my birthday.
Okay,
it's supposed to take May 30th in Madison Square Garden. I damn sure got to be there for that.
Oh yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Building for that.
I have to go.
You got to do that.
That's going to be amazing.
I'm gonna try to get a picture with both of them.
But that's going to so be that's amazing one. Fight.
And you like T.O.
Yeah, Terrence Crawford, Errol Spence.
Not for this year.
I don't think it's gonna happen this year. But you want to see it though, right?
Yeah.
Or do you want to see Errol Spence get a comeback fight first? I want to see
Spence make at least 2 or 3 comeback fights before he fight Crawford.
Before he fight Crawford.
Yeah.
Did you watch the interview that he had
with Brian Kenny?
Yes.
Horrible.
He didn't sound.
They set him up first off.
What did he say? I missed this.
What do you mean they set him up?
Like the questions. He wasn't prepared to answer those questions.
I thought the questioning was fine. I saw a lot of people had issues with that.
And his responses was like, I don't know if because his jaw was broke at the time.
Mm. Well, that's
he sounded kind of bad, so it made it seem like his equilibrium was off or whatever,
I thought journalistically the questions were fine.
I thought they were pretty tough on him because I'm like, man.
I mean, yo.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, like, and people were mad at this on Twitter because they thought Brian Kenny kept harping on this, but yeah. Yo, Errol Spence, like, you're Errol Spence. You shouldn't be without a seatbelt driving an exotic car.
150 miles per hour.
Yeah. Was it a DUI also?
Yeah, he got a DUI.
And people were mad that Brian Kenny brought that up. But it's like, dog.
No, that's a fact. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to get at least 2-3 questions in about that.
But yeah,
my thing was how he sounded, Errol Spence.
Yeah, his was slurred.
He didn't sound right, huh? You do think he needs a couple comeback fights.
I think he needs at least, because you got to understand, the top of the division are some of the best athletes in the world. And when you're talking about Terrence Crawford, mm-hmm. one of the best.
I want him to fight an elite fighter. One of the best. The thing.
Yeah, one of the best. You want to see him challenged. Right.
I want to see Terrence Crawford challenged. Well, we all do. But I think right now.
Sure, he wants to see him challenged. That's why in his last fight, he was brawling with the dude. He didn't have to do that.
And then he posted the other day, I invite all the champs to my gym. Terrence Crawford reposted that the other day. He wanted everybody. You know what the issue is, though?
People like him, and I guess I would still say Deontay Wilder, even given he just lost. But people, I don't think they get enough credit for actually trying to fight some of these dudes. And then people want to hold against them like they haven't fought in this person, they haven't fought in this person. They've tried. Deontay Wilder flew out to Russia, was going to fight Alexander Povetkin.
Yes, he was.
And Alexander Povetkin had a steroid, and this is when people thought Povetkin was going to win that fight, and he was legitimately a top 3 to 5 heavyweight
at the time. Yes, he was.
He doesn't get credit for that. Yeah. And Terrence Crawford doesn't get credit for, like, he's trying, like, behind the scenes, like, they're trying to do this.
And with that being said, I'm glad you mentioned that, because Fury and Wilder was made, twice.
Twice.
ESPN and Fox did business.
Twice.
What's the zone doing?
Top Rank and PBC did business twice.
What's the zone doing?
Yes,
so Top Rank and PBC could do business again, whether it be for Manny or whether it be for Spence.
Yeah.
Right. But I would just think two fights.
Oh, give me Crawford Manny. I've been calling for that for 5 years.
Crawford been calling for that for years.
Because I think I've said in 2015.
Do I want to see that?
Yes.
I want to see.
We got to see Crawford against Manny.
I
want to
see it only because I've been saying I think Terrence Crawford would win. Since 2015.
We got to see Crawford.
This is after he fought Thierry John. I was like, he'll beat.
I do think Crawford will win. I'm wondering how much good of a fight Manny's going to put up. That's my
Manny
concern.
Can still fight.
Manny can still fight somehow. Manny can still fight. But I think Terrence Crawford is on another level. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think Terrence Crawford's
the best pound for pound welterweight, if that makes sense. Like, he's the best natural fighter in that weight
class. Yeah,
absolutely.
But I don't know if he's the best welterweight. That's what I want to see.
Got you. Overall, he's the best.
Because of what he's done at 135, 140. Mm-hmm. But I want to see him do it at 147. And it's like, if not Manny Pacquiao, that doesn't look, likely.
Yeah.
Errol Spence, I think it'll happen. I don't know if it'll happen this year, to your point.
I think next year is more likely.
So you're looking at Sean Porter?
Sean Porter ain't going to fight him. Yeah, I don't think they'll fight.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think Terrence Crawford and Sean Porter will fight.
Danny Garcia?
I was going to mention
Garcia. It's a makeable fight, but it's not. Hear me out. Sean Porter and Terrence Crawford is a fight that neither networks and promotion teams will push hard for.
I agree with that.
Because it's just not a fight that the world is clamoring for.
Danny Garcia and Crawford is
something that they would probably,
I do think it's one of those fights that maybe the world's not calling for, but if you get an alert that says Terrence Crawford and Sean Porter, like if you get it today, let's say it's April 23rd or whatever the case may be, I'm just throwing out a random date.
Yeah.
Then people will see that and be like, oh, that's an interesting fight.
You know what I mean? I'm not so sure about that.
I think Sean Porter's done enough.
The boxing fan, the diehard boxing fan, even the somewhat boxing fan, maybe But that's not who you're trying to get when you're selling those fights. You're trying to get the casual boxers. Yes. Fans.
Okay. Yeah.
That's who you're trying to
get. You're trying to get the investors, the sponsors. You're trying to get those guys to back that fight.
I do think
that's how they got all this money for Fury and Wilder. You got those people to pay that money for the fight. You got the people that own all this property. You got the $1 billion guys with the hotels and the planes
because they can add money to the fight.
Yeah. I agree.
I don't think that would be a bad fight. I just agree with you for all the reasons. Yeah.
No, but I agree with that because I will say this: Sean Porter has three losses, but all of those losses very close. Some would even say debatable.
To world champions.
To world champions. Yes, world champions. That's right.
Although I did think he lost to Jordanez Hugas, but you know.
Yeah.
I thought he did. He lost that fight.
I thought he lost that one. That was a tough fight.
That
was a tough one, yep.
And it's funny because there's a few guys that, like, Danny Garcia is another guy.
That's my guy. I like Danny Garcia.
I would want to see. What do you think would happen in that fight?
With Garcia and Crawford?
Yeah.
That would be an amazing fight. It would be an amazing fight.
See, and I think you could sell that one.
You can.
I think you can. You could sell it and put it in
a neutral place like maybe Cali or Vegas.
Or Vegas. I was saying Vegas.
Like, yeah. I want to see Danny Garcia fight somebody like worth mentioning at this point. The Ivan Redcash thing, I don't know whose fault that was, but like, you know me, I was like, I texted you. I was like, yo, I'm not showing up to this shit. I ain't going to that.
That was a stay busy.
Ivan Redcash.
Because it was a possibility that Danny might get a fight against either Spence or Pacquiao. So I'm going to fight this southpaw and stay busy. You know what I'm saying?
Ivan Redcash was on the undercard in July 2016 of the Leo Santa Cruz Carl Frampton card in Barclays Center.
Yeah.
He fought Tevin Farmer, not on Showtime, but on Showtime Extreme.
Yes.
And he was on the undercard and got outboxed silly. Why 3.5 years later am I going to see him box Danny Garcia?
Because he just knocked out the former two-time world champion, and Devin Alexander earned his spot.
Come on, man. This ain't the same Devin Alexander, though.
But he earned his spot.
And so off
and it's that... And it's talk about Devin Alexander possibly fighting Adrian Broner.
Oh, God.
So, yeah.
Let
me tell you something. I was high on the Adrian Broner
train. But you know what? It's things
and
like,
the wheels went off of that.
It's things like this that make me look at boxing and just shake my head.
There's a lot of things.
Are going to forever compare it to MMA. I try to stay away from that, but I'm going to do it right here.
Yeah. Because
MMA, at least literally every month, there's a card where I'm like, yo, it's 50-50 fights. I think that when people, like boxers at the top, make more than MMA fighters at the top. But the sport is better off in MMA from the standpoint of you're making fights within the company.
Yeah.
UFC is here. Bellator is here. ONE Championship is here. Like, there are some options. But when you sign to that company, the promoters are inside the company. Whereas boxing, literally everyone has their own teams, promotional deals or whatever. ESPN and Fox made business finally together.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, like, it took, look at how long it took for that to even happen.
Mm-hmm. I do think that's a huge part of the problem.
HBO and Showtime collaborated for Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather just because that was the biggest fight in the world.
Yeah.
How often are we going to see that? The Zone's over here off to the side being like, hey, you know, we're going to have the YouTubers fight each other. And we're gonna have Anthony Joshua fight this person.
I love you after this fight.
It getting paid.
No, but I'm like, yo, you have to, but you have to look at them sideways. They're making money, and that's what people want to do, is to make money. But I'm looking at them sideways because, yo, if ESPN and Fox could collab and you guys are over here having Demetrius Andrade fight people I've never heard of, and people haven't even heard of him to begin with, and you're not really giving him exposure.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And then on top of that, your app is $9.99, and then it's $19.99, and there are rumors about them going to $50, and then, you know, they're getting rid of people inside the company that actually know what they're doing and know what they're talking about.
No, we do. We have seen that.
Rage.
There's a lot of shit going on there where I'm like, yo, what are you really doing?
Yeah.
And they have a lot of people, to the point about reporters around boxing, they have a lot of people, not all of them, but they have a lot of people covering boxing that don't really cover boxing.
Yeah.
They just kind of grab people, be like, oh, I know your agency. You're represented by these people. So let's bring you in here because you have a big social media platform.
Yes.
You have a big following. Now, I don't care if you know the sport. Well, you'll figure it out.
Yeah.
We'll just bring you in here so you can cover the sport. Mm-hmm. That's the Zone boxing right there. Like, that's what it is. That's what they demonstrated themselves to be. It absolutely should be. It's legitimately a third-rate company compared to what we're seeing other, you know, established entities be.
I hope that T.O. and Lomo fight gets done. Yeah. Who would you have winning that fight?
Teofimo Lopez.
Wow.
Knockout.
Knockout.
I'm 50-50 still. But I can see that, though, because Lomachenko has been dropped.
Lomachenko has been dropped.
Not just because he's been dropped, but Loma's not a big 135-pounder.
That's true.
Which is goes leads me to my next question about him, although I am a fan of his age.
He's slowing down.
Other fair point. Do you think, because they always had been talking about him, he's not a big 135-pounder, but when it seemed like there wasn't going to be people for him to fight at 135, that he would think about moving up. I wasn't sure that was a good idea for him.
Yeah.
What do you say?
Moving up was a great idea because it's a history thing. It's legacy. Mm-hmm. You know, he moved up at the right time. He watched Robert Easter lose. Mm-hmm. who was probably one of the biggest, stronger punchers in the division.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? He knew that he can outbeat Ray Beltran. You know what I'm saying? He knew he could outfight Ray Beltran, who's a strong puncher, but not a solid quick hitter. Slow. Ray Beltran, his best punch is his left hook. Yeah. So he knew he can go in there and beat him. He knew he could beat Pedraza because Pedraza has no power.
My guy.
You know what I'm saying? Respect to him, Puerto Rico.
Yeah, I know he's rooting for him in that
honestly, yeah. He's probably the best fighter we have now.
Really good fighter.
Which is saying something about Felix Verdejo.
You know, Pedraza's a really good fighter, but he just don't have no power.
Right.
You know, he beat Beltran, but he don't have no power. And when I say he don't have no power, he don't have no power to keep a guy like Loma off of him.
Off of him,
you
right.
You know what I'm saying? And which is why Loma beat him.
Right. But somebody like Tio... looks like he's got the power and the speed.
Teofimo's like, what, 21, 22?
Yep.
He's 12-0, I believe, if I'm not sure. The power, the speed is there, the accuracy. A fight with him against Loma is only going to get him, make him better because he's going to learn from...
He looks like a star,
he's going to learn
from, I don't even like saying
how to move
much.
From this angle to that mm-hmm. angle, you know, slip and dip. And if he knocks him out, he's just gone. His star status is out there.
Let him
do a flip. Let him knock out, do a flip and do whatever baseball thing he likes to do. Yeah. Any type of antics that he likes to do after he knocks out his opponent, that's going to be viral.
Top Rank got some dogs.
Yeah, they got some good fighters. They got a nice stable of fighters. Yep. And like I said, Loma at 135, he did the right thing because he knew he couldn't get it. They knew they couldn't get a fight with Tank at 130.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Made no sense for him to fight Tevin Farmer.
Yeah.
Nope. And any other champion at 130, Top Rank wasn't going to let him fight because they got Miguel Beltran. So he's not gonna be. He wasn't gonna be able to fight him either.
Right.
And then Jamel Herring came back down and got the WBO title. So they wasn't gonna make that fight.
Shout out to him.
So yeah. So they're not gonna make Top Rank's not gonna make him fight their champions at 130 when he's been dominant at 130 for so long.
Yeah.
So it was a no brainer to go to 135, make a deal with Matchroom, go beat Luke Campbell, become the franchise champion because he did. They did say that he called Suleiman. Yeah. Suleiman did say that the team called him to make him the franchise champion so he didn't have to fight Devin Haney.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So now I'm just
going. I want to see Devin Haney.
Yeah. So Loma, you think, is that he's in a good spot with this fight no matter what happens.
In a bad spot in this fight. He put himself in a bad spot.
Because of fighting now, having to fight. Because
he was trying to get away from both of them, and he took the worst of the two.
Right.
Not taking away from Devin Haney.
Right, but he took
the worst of the two.
Right, yeah.
Last thing, because we got to get up out of here. Right. Top 2-3 fights you want to see Clarissa Shields fight this year?
This year?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Layla Ali.
Oh. Layla Ali says she'll come back for the right price.
Layla ain't coming back. But you know,
I don't think so either. Know. She says she can get into shape quick. I was like.
Layla Ali ain't coming back for no fight.
I don't think it's happening. Now, would I like to see it? Yes. Do I think it's going to happen? No.
I think Clarissa will stop her. Not only I think Clarissa will stop, I think she will make her quit.
I think so too.
I think she would like beat her.
Layla Ali's not prime. Layla Ali.
Come on, man. Listen, she's 40 something years old now. But that's
She's 40 something.
She's 42.
Yeah.
Really?
Layla Ali's 42. Boy. So,
and that's why she's not coming back.
Top fight, Clarissa against Layla Ali. That would be a great moneymaker for both women. Number two, Clarissa against Cecilia Breakers. Mm. And number three, I would either say Clarissa against Hannah Gabriel if she came back from an injury, or against Raquel Miller.
Okay. All right. We'll see.
Because they got history.
You want to
Raquel
see
Billy and Carissa? Oh, they got history.
I just had an interview with her. That'll be posting probably soon.
Oh, that'll be good.
It'll probably be out by the time that we
drop this.
They got history.
All right, well, we'll look forward to that. Xavier, man, we got to thank you for coming and talking some boxing. Next time you come, we'll get a little bit more basketball.
Yeah, no doubt.
We won't put up any ridiculous iconic statues like this man wants to do. That's Xavier Porter, boxing.
Let me drop my Instagram and all that.
Yeah, go ahead.
So follow me on Xavier Porter 227 on Instagram. Brooklyn Fights 1 Instagram, Shoot the 5-1 Instagram, Twitter, Xavier Porter 227. You can catch me on LinkedIn. I'm chilling on there also. Hit me up on Facebook. Email me, xporter456@gmail.com. And, hit me up. Holler at me.
Look for that man at Xavier Porter, boxing reporter, creator of BrooklynFights.com, co-creator, and Shoot the 5 TV.
Yes, sir.
He has all the good knowledge. And one thing I can tell you about this man right now that we know from him, he will not be out here taking pictures with those fighters.
Nah. I take pictures of certain fighters, but I'm not going to be at a
You're
fight.
Not going to be like, creeping up on nobody.
Can I get this pic with you? Like,
yo, if I see you doing that, it's some boxing thing. I'm not talking to you.
I'm telling you, you see guys take pictures of fighters. You see a guy on Wednesday take a pic with a fighter, Thursday he want to take a pic with a fighter again. It's like ridiculous.
He's like, yo, I got to get the picture with a different outfit.
It's ridiculous. Like, it's my man. It's my guy right here.
Yo, that's what the captions are, though.
All the time.
That's what they are. We know you're not doing that out in these streets. All right, that's Xavier Porter. For Brian for a second, we got to get out of here. Please continue to support us. You know how to follow us.
Get that merch.
Instagram. Get that merch. Xavier likes the cups. Hopefully we got hats coming soon, Brian and I. We're working on that.
And we still got shirts and
hoodies.
Plenty of
stuff. We're Xavier Porter. Brian Fonseca. I'm Dex Henry. Till next time, y'all.
Peace. Right,